This is the EIR podcast, where we interview entrepreneurs in residence with your host, Henrik de Geer.
Who are you and what do you do?
My name is Jeremy Greenberg, and I am the CEO of two companies. One is Flight Fitness, which is a fitness equipment company for consumers, as well as gyms and physical therapists and wholesalers all around the world. The other one is the other company is Avenue Group, that predominantly focuses on supporting due diligence through primary research when private equity firms are considering and evaluating potential targets.
Jeremy, how are you involved as an entrepreneur in residence?
So I was asked to be an entrepreneur in residence at the Wharton School, which is my alma mater, where I received my MBA a couple years ago. And the way it works there is it's pretty informal. Every year they select something like 8 to 10 folks who are entrepreneurs and who are alum. And we come back to campus and they have a whole day planned where we meet with students who are interested in entrepreneurship, of which there are many. And then afterwards, many of them follow up. So I've been advising several students since those sessions. So some of them have graduated, some of them are still in school. And it's a really great program where alumni are connected with students, and it really helps the students get a more realistic taste of what entrepreneurship is like and running a business is like. And frankly, you know, selfishly, it's really nice for me as an alum to come back and to connect with students and to learn from them and their ideas, and find some ways to, you know, provide advice, generally speaking, about entrepreneurship, and then also more specifically about their businesses or their potential businesses and ideas. So I think it's a great program. It's something that I get a lot out of, and hopefully the students do as well.
Jeremy, what are the biggest challenges and successes you've seen as an entrepreneur in residence?
I think the biggest challenge is that these days, pretty much everyone in school wants to become an entrepreneur. And I'm exaggerating a bit, but when I go to campus, I speak with folks not only at in the business school, you know, from Wharton, but also who are studying liberal arts programs. I had a PhD student who was studying literature join. So you get a really, really wide range of students that are interested in entrepreneurship. And one of the challenges is, on the one hand, I want to affirm their interest and be supportive of what they're passionate about. On the other hand, I recognize that entrepreneurship is not for everyone. So striking that balance between those is quite challenging, because you don't want to tell someone, oh, this isn't right for you. And you really don't want to tell someone this is right for you. It's really about helping someone through their self-discovery. So often what I focus on is the tension between, or the internal tension that many folks have in terms of trying to figure out if this is the right path for them. And I have a firm belief that there are two types of entrepreneurs. One is the kind of innovator or inventor type that comes up with, you know, new product or new transformative ideas. And the other is the operator type, someone who you know, manages well and can operate and run a business. And 99 out of 100 times, it's not going to be the same person that falls into each of these categories. So I try to help folks figure out which, if either of these buckets, they fall in, and therefore what type of path they ought to take. But figuring that out for a diverse group of people, and, you know, helping them through their journey in a short period of time is definitely challenging.
What are the biggest successes you've seen as an entrepreneur in residence?
So one that was really exciting recently is one of the first students I met on campus who is interested in entrepreneurship, and he didn't really have a clear path, but he knew that he wanted to do something entrepreneurial. He's since graduated and reached out to me for some feedback on his business model. And I thought it was really exciting, the progress he had made, and also just the fact that he had, you know, asked for feedback. And, you know, I've subsequently introduced him to a number of folks that have been helpful for his research. So I like the continuity. And I think, you know, one of the things about this type of position is it's not a typical entrepreneur residence role where you're, you know, working inside an organization and, you know, everyone knows you're there and they're coming to you. It's a little bit more, it can be seen as a little bit more transactional since you're not sitting in campus all the time or sitting on campus all the time. So I really like the fact that people are proactively reaching out to me afterwards. And, you know, it makes me feel like I actually might have made some sort of contribution back then and allows me to make a contribution today.
Jeremy, what advice would you like to share with other entrepreneurs in residence?
I think that because most of us have created our own companies and businesses, and we've gone through the process of ideating and funding a company and you know, making a product or a service and beta testing it and prototyping, going to market and so forth. And we've gone through all these processes. I think that there's a tendency, and I find this in myself, to want to judge an idea really quickly. And I think I find this a lot in the venture capital space where someone has an idea or a concept and it's really, really easy to poke holes in it. And I try to hold back a bit in that. And instead of doing that, try to identify, you know, what are the strongest elements of whatever the idea is, and try to offer some suggestions on where folks can build on those strong elements. In particular, a lot of times an idea will sound great, or maybe it won't sound great, but further information is necessary to understand the value of that idea and if it's going to have legs. So very often, you know, I'm a big proponent of primary research because that's a lot of what we do at Avenue Group. So very often I encourage folks to conduct some interviews, and not with friends, but, you know, people that they don't know, to better understand whatever the potential market is and the concept and, you know, the pricing model or whatever the key questions are, before they're either stop, you know, they either stop or they start to raise a lot of money. So I think gathering that information is really helpful. And I think the role of an entrepreneur in residence or any kind of advisor should not be to just tell someone, hey, you should either do this or not do this, or you should, you know, do it this way or that way, but to really put in some, to really kind of work in partnership with the entrepreneur or the aspiring entrepreneur who is, you know, who's looking for some advice in a way that's more collaborative as opposed to just telling them what to do. So I think that's a really, again, that's a hard line to not cross into, that, you know, that line of telling them what to do, particularly because a lot of people want to be told what to do. A lot of people say, hey, this is my concept, this is my idea, what is my next step? You know, what is, or what should my target market be, or how should I price this? And the answer is generally one that, just because you're an entrepreneur in residence or you're an experienced entrepreneur, it doesn't mean you know the answer to that question. So it's more around, you know, what is the path towards discovering that answer as opposed to just trying to answer that those questions and trying to sit on that entrepreneur high horse or soapbox as if, you know, we know exactly how things are going to pan out. You know, something I always tell folks is that every business is different. And just because you're in an industry where people do things a certain way and there's a certain level of experience, it does, even if there's another company in that same industry that operates in a very same way, it doesn't mean that they need to do it the same way. And every you know, every company and every product and every service, it, you know, should, can and should operate in a way that is most appropriate for that organization. And that means it needs to be a good fit with the founder's values and the founder's instincts, and not just something that, you know, an advisor or an entrepreneur in residence tells them to do.
Jeremy, where can we learn more about Entrepreneurs in Residence and your work as an EIR?
You can learn more about the Warden Entrepreneur in Residence program by visiting entrepreneurship.wharton.upenn.edu/experts-in-residence. It's only available for Penn students, but there's a little bit more information on this program on the website.
For more about this, visit eirpodcast.com. Don't forget to please subscribe, rate, and review. Tune in next week for the next episode. Thanks for listening.